Hi everyone, my name's Charlie, I'm an addict. Thank you, Kelly, for taking the meeting. Thank you, Bex, for asking me to be of service. Fuck's sake. And welcome to any newcomers. If you have a problem with drugs, you think you have a problem with drugs, or you're not quite sure, you're in the right place. NA has definitely changed my life for the better. I am a completely different person to who I used to be. And in ways that I thought that I didn't want to be, if that makes sense. Like, I always was tough and thought I was independent and a bit crazy, you know, when in actual fact, sorry, let's get a drink. In actual fact, I was just a scared little girl. And now, what I am is calm, kind, loving, not aggressive or confrontational sometimes. Don't get me wrong, still get road rage. But it takes quite a lot for me now to lose my shit, whereas before I was always on the edge of losing my shit. And when I lost my shit. I haven't thought about what I'm going to say, because I think if I do that, then it's not authentic. I just sort of blurt it out and see what happens, but that's the higher power's way, right? Not mine. So I came into NA thinking that I had a problem with drugs. I tried to do NA online. This was before Zoom, because I didn't think I had a drug problem worthy of being in NA. No, I wasn't a heroin addict. I knew about NA because one of my exes was a heroin addict. And so I sort of heard about it. So instead of coming into the rooms, I tried to do it online because I didn't think, you know, I thought that I'd be laughed out of the rooms, that I wasn't good enough an addict to be in the rooms. But I kept relapsing. And it wasn't until I was having counselling actually for domestic violence, and the counsellor was, instead of trying to process my trauma, was trying to get me clean. And she was the one that said, you know, I think you need to actually go to a meeting. And that night I walked into an NA meeting. And I haven't looked back, actually. I relapsed 10 days later on alcohol. And then, yeah, and I've been clean since. And I always share about this in a share, because I remember my first meetings, well, not so clearly, actually, that's a lie, because there's parts of it, I don't remember the share. I don't really remember who was there. I remember a couple of people that were there, but I remember the bird doing the tea and her being fucking happy as fuck and giving me a cuddle, and I was a bit like, oh, didn't like that. And I remember reading about how the clarity statement, right, that alcohol is a drug, and thinking, whoa, hang on a minute, I've come here because I've got a problem with drugs, not with alcohol. And I was sitting there thinking in my head about how I would never, ever, ever be able to stay off alcohol. I had, you know, I was 29 when I came into the rooms, and I was thinking it's going to be my 30th birthday in a couple of months. Like, I still haven't been to Ibiza. I've got all these weddings. What about Christmas? I couldn't see how I was going to get through life without alcohol, let alone drugs. Like, and I was, I remember thinking to myself, like, I've got a drug problem, not a booze problem, but I can't not drink. But in actual fact, the biggest problem that I had really was with booze. You know, I started my journey with booze, and in the end, I knew that I had an issue with drugs, and I could actually stay away from the drugs, but I couldn't stay away from the booze, because I stopped the drugs, and my drink went through the roof, because, you know, alcohol is an acceptable, socially acceptable thing to do, right? Rather than being in a corner, like tripping off your nut. But yeah, the alcohol. And that's the thing, though, I don't think about using. If ever a thought comes into my head, it's about drink. Sometimes it's random. I'll be like, oh, I'll have a glass of wine when I get in. But I don't even know where that comes from. But yeah, that's where my head goes. But I tell you what, it doesn't really do that much no more. When I first got clean, I remember being so fucking afraid and sitting in a corner rocking, because I could not handle life clean. you know, I'd done my whole adult life, most of my teenage life, using heavily drink and drugs. And what I found out later, once I had got clean, is that I had mental health. I had borderline personality disorder, PTSD, depression, anxiety. And I had that from the age of 13. So having borderline personality disorder plus being a hormonal teenager, it's not a good combination. And I didn't know how to deal with life. I didn't know how to deal with reality. I couldn't cope. I was self-harming. And the only thing that I could do was use and drink. And that kept me alive, actually, I think, especially in my teenage years when I was really off my rocker. It kept me alive because it enabled me to handle life. And it wasn't until I got older, when the consequences then started to become too much, and I was trying to have, you know, be an adult in my late 20s, and it just got too much. But in early recovery, you know, I was suicidal. I was self-harming again, and I wasn't able to do anything. I disassociated all the time, and that's when I got diagnosed with mental health. And since then, it's been hard. I'm not going to lie; like, recovery hasn't been easy. I'm on meds. It took a really long time for them to stabilize me on my medication. But I have been stable now for a couple of years. And but it's a simple program, right? But you've got to put the work in. And I'm really fucking good at procrastinating. Like, I'm on my step 8 at the moment, and fucking hell, what a list. It's such a long list. And I go and look at it and I'm like, oh, I just don't want to do this. But it's like, you've got to chip away at it. And I've got 3 sponsees, and they're smashing it. And the beauty of it is they're giving me a kick up the arse, because they're showing me they're working really hard, and I'm sitting there, you know, being a responsible sponsor, and actually I'm sitting on my arse not doing the work that I should be doing. But being a sponsor, I have to say, is I was nervous when I got first asked to be a sponsor, but it is one of the most beautiful bits of service you can do. It's such a beautiful privilege to watch these women grow and develop and heal. It's given me goosebumps. It's like, it is literally one of the most beautiful things that I've ever done. And I feel very, very privileged to be a part of their journey. And they give me so much. They give me so much back. Yeah, recovery is... like I said, it's a simple program, but it's not been easy. But I would never ever change it. Never ever change it. I have a life beyond my wildest dreams. And when I first come in, I thought that meant getting a husband and kids and having a big house and a nice car and, you know, being able to go and shop in Harrods. I've got nothing, none of that. But what I have got is peace and serenity. And I've got friends that I fucking love, and I know I've got my back, Bex. You know, I've got friends in recovery, and I've been having a lot of battle with old friends that I've had for a long time, friends that I used with, but, you know, we were still rubbing along. And then last year I got admitted into the psych unit, and it all went a bit, I don't know, they just all went a bit weird, and I've not spoken to some of them since. And it's been quite hard to step back from that, but what it's done is my higher power has shown me that relationships aren't forever. Some relationships come into your life for a very short period of time, some for a long time, and getting rid of those relationships has allowed me to see the toxicity that I was still holding on to, but it's given me space to grow relationships that are beautiful and caring and loving, and knowing that I've got their back and they've got mine. And no matter what's going on in my head, I can reach out and they're there. And it's people that also now have the same morals as me, you know, because those people that I used to knock around with, they don't have a program. They still, like, they might not use like I used to use, but they still use. And yeah, it's growth, right? It's growth. And it did dent my pride, and I did have a resentment, but I pray for them every day. you know, they're on my prayer list, and I hope that, you know, they find the peace, serenity, and love that they deserve. And I let go of it. Because I was queen resentment. Like, I could hold a grudge that like you would not know. That's sticking my heels in the sand, like the stubbornest donkey you've ever known in your life. And it's not like that now. It's not like that. My best friend, she's not in recovery, but she has really bad anxiety. And I say to her, just leave it up to the universe. Just leave it up to the universe. And that is the best thing. Because when I came in, I really struggled with the word God, right? And finding a higher power. Like, God for me makes me think of cardigans and mothballs and smelly churches. Like, that's not a bit of me. And it took a really long time. And someone at Brixton meeting, actually, someone said to me, just think of it as the meetings. For now, your higher power is the meetings. And when we used to stand in a circle at Brixton and hold hands, and there's like 100 people in the room and everyone's saying a serenity prayer, you could just feel the energy. The energy flows through you. And that to me was my higher power for a while until, you know, I learned what my higher power was. And someone else said to me, fake it till you make it. Because I wasn't praying. I didn't really get it. Like, you know, what am I praying to? Someone said to me, just do it. Stop dicking around and question everything. Just do as you're told and do it. And fake it till you make it. And gradually it grew. My spirituality grew. And I now, yeah, let things go. Whereas before I couldn't do that. And I'm trying to instill the same kind of spirituality into my mum and my sister, because I do get my stubbornness from them. But like, I have a relationship with my family now that's very different because of this program. You know, I never really felt connected to my parents until they saw me sick last year when I came out of the psych unit, and they realised actually how ill my mental health was. And then we've built our connection since then. And my sister, like, I wasn't allowed to see my nephew when he was little because of the way that I was, because I was violent and erratic. And me and my sister we've had fights. I've put my hands on her. And now I'm trusted with all three of her kids. Now, instead of being trusted, I get phone calls saying, you need to come and get this kid before I kill her. Speaking about my niece, because she's a nightmare. But that's beautiful. It's beautiful. Like, I wouldn't have that. I wouldn't have that without NA. And, you know, it's one of the most important things to me is that link. And yeah, it saved my life. It's made me a better person. I've built connections with people, deep, meaningful connections that I never really knew that I had, that I was able to make. You know, having borderline personality disorder, when I got my diagnosis, I was like, oh, that's what this is. Like, this isn't just, there's nothing, like, I thought there was something wrong with me, the way that I thought and the way that I acted. Because I'd always do this self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Like, oh, I need to stop spunking money so I can like afford the rent, but then I'd go and do it anyway. And in my head, I'd be like, well, you're just, you know, you're shit, you're useless. You might as well just do it. And, you know, I've had that internal dialogue my whole life, that negativity. And today I don't love myself fully. There are things about myself that I'm not particularly happy with, but I am getting there. And it's a gradual process, right? Progression, not perfection. But today I can hand that shit over. And because I don't just have addiction with drugs, you know, when I hand this shit over in the morning, I'm there for a good half hour listing everything. Do you know what I mean? It's not just drink, drugs, it's food, it's sex, men, seeking validation, spending, honestly, smoking. Like, it goes on and on and on. You know, and that's the thing. That's why I love NA, because we're not a specific substance, and it isn't just substances. So I'll put something down and pick something up. And it might not be seen as destructive to the outside world, but within NA, we can use anything to change the way that we feel and use it destructively. And I'm really fucking good at that. But I hand that stuff over. I hand my character defects over, and I just try and be a better person. And if at the end of the day, I go to sleep, get my head on the pillow clean, and I haven't hurt anyone, you know, and I've not hurt myself, it's a good day. And, you know, it never used to be like that. I was always drama, so much fucking drama and chaos. And I think as well, I was addicted to the chaos, the criminality and being a little wrong and this, that and the other. Do you know what I mean? Thinking I'm the Billy Big Bollocks, when actually I'm just a very little fish in a massive pond. Very fucking lucky that, you know, nothing completely savage happened to me because of the way that I used to roll around. But that chaos and that violence and madness, like, I can't believe looking back that that was my life. And also the fact that my mum and dad had to watch that, watch me destroy myself. Painful. But yeah, today it's not like that. The other day I went and saw a friend of mine who I've known since I was about 17, and she and her mum, and they both just said, I can't believe how calm I am. You know, how she said she'd be bitching about someone and I don't even say anything because I don't even get in the mix no more. So I mean, I'm like, it's not my business. It's not my business what you think about her. It's not my business what anyone thinks about me. Do you know what I mean? Not everyone's going to like me. I'm an acquired taste. I can be a bit of a cunt. I'm quite blunt. You know? So, but it's okay. It's all right. You know, the world's not going to end because Sharon down the road doesn't like me. It doesn't matter. It's not my business. I'm just going to try and be a nice person. And today I'm a good example of a working member of society. You know, I've got a good job, I've got a career, I finished my degree in recovery, I've got a job where I help people, you know, and I try and give back today. I don't just take and make everything about me, because it ain't about me. I'm a very small part of this very big world, but NA has allowed me to do that, to be this better person. And the tools of recovery, right? And the steps, everyone always goes on about steps 4 and 5 and how savage it is. Steps 4 and 5 for me are a piece of piss. Steps 6 and 7, mate, Jesus. That's why I ended up in a psych unit. And no lie, because I would not hand over my character defects. So my heart power was like, all right, love, off you go. Stick me in a psych unit for a couple of days. I came out of there and I was like, all right, fair enough. Because I work, yeah, because it's learned behaviour. Like these behaviours don't serve me no more. Do you know what I mean? Running around being dishonest, and not just being dishonest about sleeping with someone's boyfriend, but like someone will say to me, what did you do at the weekend? And I'll be like, oh, I did this, this and this. And it can just be the smallest exaggeration, but I do it naturally without even thinking. Right. And I do it all the time and I catch myself. And I don't even know why I do it. It's just old behaviour. So I have to correct myself and be like, actually, I just lied then. Or be like, what am I doing? I'm exaggerating. Because it's those little behaviours that if I allow them to continue, then it's going to build up and then I'll start acting out with food and with men, spending, you know, and then it's a spiral. Because when you relapse, you know, and I know for a fact if I relapse, I'll die. You know, my mental health is savage. And the thing is, now when I step away from the programme, I don't want to use, I want to die. You know, the reason I end up in a psych unit is because I tried to jump off a bridge because everything got too much. And that's where my head goes. And I know that I don't think I'd make it back. So for me, I hold on to this shit. I hold on to shit with my life because that's what I'm doing. I'm fighting for my life. Because it's not a joke, right? Relapse ain't a joke. I work my program, and when I've slipped off of it, I know. But what I do is really simple. I get up in the morning. I heard a share the other day, this woman sharing, and she said, before my feet touch the floor, I connect with my higher power. And I love that. Unfortunately, I can't do that because I'm always busting for a wee when I first wake up in the morning. So I have to wee and then come back. But that, I just love that. Like, I connect with my higher power. I do a meditation, and like a guided meditation to sort of get me in the zone. And then I do it like a timed meditation where I say my prayers and I sit there. I do a gratitude list. I've got a WhatsApp group with my 3 sponsees. Thanks, Bex. And actually one of my sponsees. So I'm a grand sponsee. Yeah, we're all on a grat list together, WhatsApp groups. We share our grat lists. And it's beautiful. They gave me inspiration. They gave me a kick up the arse. and I read Just for Today, and that's it. And that takes me, what, 25 minutes in the morning? And then at the end of the day, I meditate again, because again, it calms me down. And then I just say goodnight to my higher power, and I journal, actually, because journaling really helped me get out of my head and get all this shit out of my head before I go to sleep, because otherwise it can sometimes whirl around. Like, what's that saying? The washing machine, right? If I journal, I find that it's out of my head, it's on paper, and I can put it to bed and then put me to bed. But that's it. And that's all I've got to do. And it, what, that probably takes up, what, I don't know, 40 minutes in my whole day. And just by doing that, I have serenity, you know, and that is the biggest gift, is I can sit with myself today in peace and be all right, and know that no matter what, I don't have to use, because it's going to be all right. I've got through all that shit. I've had domestic violence and twice in and out of recovery. I've had tried to kill myself, got my mental health. You know, I've survived all that. Yeah, you know, it's going to be all right. And reaching out to the women in recovery, the people that I love dearly, you know, helps. Fellowship helps. Anyway. I hope someone got something from that. Sorry if I waffled, I feel like I did. But yeah, NA is the place to be, people. You've got your ass in a good seat and stay there. All right, bless.